This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. To Paris, Emmanuel Macron, the president of France, an embassy to Moscow to speak with President Putin, an embassy to Kiev to speak with President Zelensky. And now I welcome Sophie Petter, the Paris bureau chief for The Economist magazine, because right now we have a world of Macron, the embassy to Moscow and Kiev, much in the news, and the re-election campaign of Emmanuel Macron, much in the news. We'll address the immediate success and puzzlement about the visit to Moscow. Sophie, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. Mr. Macron, following his lengthy conversations with Mr. Putin, and I believe the news said a six-course meal, I love that, did make a remark about positive directions. I think the Kremlin even used the word positive the next day. There might have been some confusion about what that looks like, but what is it that Mr. Macron saw that encouraged him about diplomacy? Good evening to you.
Good evening. It's a pleasure to join you, John. I think, you know, having been on this trip with Macron in Moscow and then in Kiev, the feeling that I got was that he saw a potential chance to put the try to ease tensions and find a path towards a form of diplomacy that might enable Europeans, the West, to prevent war taking place. Now, you know, that's an ambitious hope, and it's an incredibly narrow path that he seemed to detect. And after these hours of meeting with Putin on Monday night, I mean, they finished at 1 a.m, Moscow time. So it was a very long wait for those to finish. At the end of it, Macron told us in the plane when he came home and then said it in Kiev that what he had secured from Putin was, and I quote, that he would not be at the origin of an escalation, unquote, as things stand. Now, what does that really mean? In the French hope is that what this means is that there is a little bit of space now to pursue things on the diplomatic front. There is no deal. Macron wasn't seeking a deal. There's certainly no written commitment, and he wasn't seeking that either. But what he wants is a bit of space to let diplomacy work. And Macron was incredibly cautious and sort of careful in the way he described what was happening, because he also feels it's very tense, but that's what he feels he secured, a little bit of space for talking.
I note in your reporting, there is a fact that we didn't have easily here in Washington and New York, which is that President Macron, before he ventured to Moscow, checked with both Washington and Berlin. Is that new for him, to consult with his allies?
Well, it's an interesting one. I think in the past, he has been accused, and not unfairly, of somewhat unilateral diplomacy. That is, he goes off on his own, he sets off on his initiatives, and he doesn't consult enough. And that exposes him to real issues further down the road. We've seen that in the past. We saw that with the NATO brain death comment that he made to The Economist magazine and other moments. So in this respect, I do think this is new. I think he has learned from that, and he went out of his way to talk to as many partners as he could, including President Biden, but also those leaders of the Baltic states that are really feeling quite threatened by Russia. They're exposed to Russia on the eastern flank of the European Union, other NATO state members as well, such as Boris Johnson in the UK. So I think Macron was really making an effort to make sure that everyone had been consulted and that his efforts were being coordinated, that nobody thought this was a sort of freelance, freewheeling, unilateral effort that France was undertaking on its own initiative. And I think that was really important to him ahead of the trip.
The Minsk II agreement of 2015, the Normandy front of the same time, a four-way talks, as you evidence in your reporting, that would involve three new players and Mr. Putin. The consultation with Germany struck me as especially significant because Angela Merkel and François Hollande were at those meetings. They're no longer in office. Does Mr. Macron see Olaf Scholz as a good partner to reestablish a Normandy front if it's to happen?
Well, I think he does. As France has an instinctive tendency to reach out to Germany on everything within the European Union. That's been the history of the entire European project. But it remains today the first instinct of any French president is to reach out to Germany. It's more difficult because Angela Merkel was such a pillar of the European scene for so long. But it was interesting to me was that after we left Kiev in the presidential plane, we then headed straight to Berlin. And precisely so that Macron could debrief Olaf Scholz, the German chancellor, who has taken over from Merkel. And that was, you could see that there was a kind of a complicity between them that was beginning to emerge. It's very early days and they don't have anything like the same relationship. But I think it was important for President Macron to be seen to be doing this alongside Germany. And that's what they're trying to do by reviving this format of four-way talks, Germany and France on the one side, Russia, and then obviously Ukraine as the fourth partner in those talks. We're not at the level of seeing a summit, which would be quite an achievement at the, you know, in terms of political leaders. But what we are seeing is negotiations taking place by the representatives of each of those four governments. Those are already taking place today in Berlin.
It's been several days. There's a chance for everybody to decompress from a whirlwind of diplomacy, Scholz to Washington, Macron to Moscow. At this point, there are reports of dual exercises, the Russians exercising in Belarus, NATO exercising along its frontier. And what is the expectation of Mr. Macron and his administration now, after several days of excitement and news coverage? Have they lowered their expectations? Do they have a low bar that they believe they can achieve in these next days?
You know, it's so difficult. This situation is incredibly tense. Macron has not been naive for a moment about it. He spoke of the possibility of incandescence in Europe. That was the phrase he used. He said to us in the plane that he felt that there was a palpable tension in the room during those hours with President Putin. So he knows that he's treading an incredibly narrow path here. The French think that they have secured an agreement from the Russians to withdraw after those joint exercises in Belarus. We'll see whether that takes place. But I think, you know, that the main thing amid all this diplomacy is that it comes back each time to this hope that there will be enough time to start talks in a meaningful way before, without something more dramatic happening in terms of the military situation on the ground. And on that front, what I found it quite interesting is that the assessment of the French and the Germans, actually, about the imminence or not of an invasion of Ukraine, it really does differ to the assessment that seems to be made by the Americans and the Brits, for example. And the French, you know, they're not underplaying the risks, but they do not feel that there is an imminent threat of invasion. They may be wrong, but that's what they're saying.
The visit to Kyiv, it was very quick, and the conversation with Mr. Zelensky was at least charming in that they sat at a human-sized table. It was round and they could see each other. I don't know about that table in Moscow. I wonder if they have a bigger table in storage for the next round of conversations. 20 feet is what it was reported. But with Mr. Zelensky, did President Macron come to a summary of working with him or promising with him? Mr. Zelensky has been outspoken saying there's no imminent attack. It's not going to happen. He's been a person who's spoken out in what you'd have to say is an accommodating fashion these last weeks.
Well, he has made those noises, but in a way, I think that he's been trying to calm down some of the alarmism. That's not to say that he feels comfortable. It's very clear that if you're in Kiev and you know that there are 125,000 troops at your border and they're Russian troops and with tanks, and there is nonetheless a feeling of being very much sort of on the front line almost, even in the capital city. They've been feeling that for a long time, before even this build-up. So, I mean, one doesn't want to play down the sense of vulnerability that you definitely get in Kyiv at the time. I think that, you know, the the feeling that one had from Zelensky in that conversation with Macron and their press conference afterwards, that was still one of nervousness. You know, he said explicitly, words are one thing from Russia, but deeds are another. And I think that's one of the problems he has, is that Russia or Putin can say one thing one minute and do another the next. And that's absolutely the characteristic of the way he operates. And I think that that's why Zelensky, despite him trying to sort of perhaps calm down the rhetoric, nonetheless, he's very, you know, it's quite evident that he still feels extremely vulnerable.
I'm speaking with Sophie Petter, the Paris bureau chief for The Economist magazine, also the author of Revolution Française, about Emmanuel Macron, a biography, a political biography of Macron. And we're going to turn to his re-election campaign because it's all part of the larger map of Europe in this conflict zone. Emmanuel Macron is asking the people of France, as I understand, to re-elect him, which is rare over these last decades. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.